Thank you for tuning in to the Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple podcast. My name is Carlos Navarrete, and I'm the lead pastor. Our goal is to magnify God through His Word, and we pray that you'll be drawn closer to Jesus through this message. If this message is a help to you, we would greatly appreciate it if you could leave a review and subscribe. And most importantly, please share with friends through social media to help us spread God's Word. Now here's today's message. Take your Bible this morning. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 12. And if you have a copy of God's Word, leave it there. In a moment, we're going to read verses number 1 and 2. But we're in a series we've titled Christian. We're learning what it means to be a Christian. And we're learning it's not what maybe you think it is. We started and we talked about our identity in Christ. The Bible says he who is in Christ is a new creature. And that means that you are one together with Jesus Christ the minute you get saved. And then we went on and talked about faith, that faith is simply believing truth. And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to, say it, please God, right? We can't please the Lord without faith. So we've got to believe what the Bible says, what God says. Then we talked about which gospel. A lot of people are living over here this doing gospel. They get saved by grace through faith, but then they think, I've got to do all these things to get to God even after salvation. And that's legalism. Legalism isn't conservatism or it's not rules. Everybody's got rules. Everybody's got a line. Legalism is simply your attitude about it. If you think that's what makes you a Christian or a good one. The Bible says there's some people overreact and they go to licentiousness. That's just whatever, everything goes. But that doesn't bring the result that you want either. And so many people will just give up and they'll say, well, I tried it. The problem is that legalism is flesh dependence, we said. License is flesh indulgence. God has called us, Galatians says, unto liberty. Interesting how the songs today all talked about freedom, liberty, and today God's ways. Last week we talked about how we enter into liberty. It requires what the Bible calls dying to self, crucifying the flesh. The flesh is the old man, that's the me, if you will. And we said there's some things you need to know. You need to know that you died, were buried, and rose again with Jesus Christ. You're a new creature. You need to reckon it be so. That means every day, consider that to be true. Don't feel it, but you got to consider it. And then the Bible says, you got to yield. There's got to be a yielding. When you crucify the flesh, watch this, then the Bible says you are free. That's what freedom is. That's what liberty is. Living in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who didn't just give himself for me. We said he gave himself to me so that he can live through me. There's freedom. It's not freedom to do what I want. It's freedom to do what I ought. Are you all with me so far? Say amen, right? Now that's where we left off. I want us today to talk about renewing the mind. Renewing the mind. You say, why? Why are we talking about that? Notice in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, read with me. I beseech you therefore, brethren, he's talking to the saved, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, that's the same word, yield in Romans 6 last week, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Listen, give yourself. He said, yield yourself. That's what he's saying. Hey, I'm going back. There's a little review. I reviewed. Paul's reviewing. He's reviewing Romans 6. He says, give yourself to the Lord. Do you notice it? Submission comes before victory. We're going to see that. He says in verse number 1, which is your reasonable service. Watch this. We come together and we have a service here. That's the same word. It's worship. Giving yourself to God is what Christian life living is. It's normal Christianity. Being in control of your life, that's fake. That's bondage. The Bible says this is normal. This is what being a Christian is. If you're a Christian who's like, you got to be a control freak and you're in control of everything, that's the antithesis of Christianity. God says, no, it's crucifying the flesh. It's giving yourself to me. Notice verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Do you see it? Verse 1. He's talking to brethren, saved people. And he says, look it. Do you realize you can be saved and think like the world? And that's what we're talking about today. See, the problem is the Bible says that many people do. But be ye transformed. That's the word metamorphosis. Okay, it's the same Greek word that we get the word metamorphosis from. So the illustration is of a little caterpillar and he's a little, ruddy old guy. And then he crawls in and he makes himself a cocoon. And one day he crawls out and he becomes a butterfly. And we've said this, the Bible says you need to become metamorphosized. You can be a new creature, but do you understand that being saved is not the same as being mature?
being saved and listen, birth and maturity are two different things. You know, babies are really cute. But if I'd have walked out on this stage this morning with nothing but a diaper and a thing of Strucky in my mouth, some of y'all would have gone, that's nasty. Amen. You say, why? You know, let me tell you why. Because it's only cute when you're supposed to be little. There comes a time, it's time to grow up. How many of you are with me? Many Christians have been saved. They're a new creature, but they've just lived their Christian life 30, 40, 50 years. It's just like they repeat the grade, they repeat the year. Still angry, still resentful, still the old man. I don't know about you. I don't want to preach to a bunch of people who believe in a God who can't change them. We're here to be transformed, he says. Listen, that's not the way this is supposed to go. We are called to be transformed. How? This is the secret. Ready? By the renewing of your, say it, mind. That's what we're talking about today. The way then is by the renewing of your mind. See, the mind here, we're talking about not your brain. We're not talking about making you intelligent today. We're talking about, watch this, making you, the Bible says, something. It's different. The brain is like the hardware. You know what I mean? Oh, everybody's got devices. So the brain would be your phone. The mind, if you will, would be the software. That's the operating system. That's the information that you download into your phone. Listen, your phone can do a lot of different things, but it'll only do the things that you put into it. How many of you understand? That's your mind. The Bible calls it the heart sometimes. It's the soul. When you die, your brain dies. It becomes dust with the rest of you. But your mind is eternal. It's tied to your soul. The Bible calls it the heart sometimes. You know, sometimes it calls it the soul. So the Christian life is lived, it says, by renewing your mind. That means changing the way you think. Because here's the problem. When you got saved, you became a new creature. And everybody said, amen. We got that down, right? New creature. But watch this. Here's the problem. God didn't come along and wipe the slate clean. The problem is we still got old thinking in there. See, we still got grandpa in there. We still got lies, we still got things, we still got old habits. And so the problem is that, you know, we leave and we're going, we're a new creature, but we still have the old software. And so God says, what I want you to do is I want you to download new material. You say, what material? The Word of God. See, the Christian life is lived by faith according to what God says in His Word. What is true according to His Word. And so when Jesus showed up on the scene, He was like, let me make this very clear. I am the way, the truth. He says, I am truth. When He said, I want you to sanctify them, He said to the Father, He says, according to thy word, He says, thy word is truth. He said, my words are true. He says, I am true. The Bible says that when He left His Spirit who lives in us and we prayed, Spirit of the living God, fall flesh. Watch this. The Spirit of truth, He said. And the Bible says that we're supposed to speak now truth one to another. It says, put away lying. Anything that you ever practiced that was occultic, dark, the Bible says dingy, not from God, you got to renounce that. Put that away, He says. Get rid of that. All that stuff you're thinking, you know, that, you know, great-grandma told you, that stuff that you read on some book, the stuff that you know, read somewhere, it says, put that away. Why? Because we're called to liberty. John 8:32 makes it very clear. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, freedom doesn't come until you're living truth. David said, blessed is the man. He said, who unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. In other words, who doesn't have a mind full of lies. That's where liberty comes. That's where blessing comes. That's where happiness comes. Liberated Christian living is walking in the light, the Bible says, and in truth. When you're honest before God, because I know that He already knows anyway. I already know I'm forgiven. So I can come to God and go, Lord, here's my junk. This is my problem. Why? He already knows. He's already forgiven it if you're saved. And so the Bible says we confess that and we bring it to the Lord. And people in bondage today are people who are living in the lies. They're living, the Bible says, in their mind. And our minds need to be renewed. I dare say that's most of us here. Most of us have some thinking we need to renew. Now Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 and he says, you got to be transformed. He says, the wrong thinking, he says, you got to be metamorphosized. You got to mature. Yes, you're a new creature, you're a butterfly, but you got to, he says, you know, reset. He says, your mind and mature so that the old thoughts can go away. You have to take care of the old way of thinking. So today what I want to talk to you about is being free. Yes, we have to crucify the flesh and be alive to Christ and yield ourselves. But how do we stay free? To do that, you've got to renew your mind. I gave you a notes today. I'll go quickly, and then we'll get real practical at the end of this message. Number one, I want to talk to you about what we call the battle for your mind. Not your brain, not the gray matter. I'm talking about the mind, the heart. I'm talking about the inside. Now, I want to talk to you about the battle. Letter A, listen, let me tell you who the enemy is. Ephesians 6:12 describes it, and it says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not people. It's not, the Bible says, a group out there. The battle is against, the Bible calls it their principalities and powers and darkness, and it describes the network that our enemy Satan has set up. Do you realize that the devil has conditioned, the Bible says, our minds by this world? The world is the devil's system. He doesn't really, he's not omnipresent like God. He's only, here and, wherever he is. I'll tell you this, but he has a system that oppresses and that opposes anything that is godly. And so the Bible says he's got this network of demons and principalities and powers. Now, let me just say some things right now about the devil right off the bat, because everybody thinks of him differently. Some people, they're like, oh, man, I'm afraid of the devil. And listen, we don't have to be afraid of him. The Bible says you don't look for him behind every bush. Satan wants us to be scared of him, but the Bible says very clearly, he's not like God. This isn't yin and yang, how they have that, the black and the white, and and it's sometimes God wins, sometimes the devil wins. No, do you understand something? God is much more powerful than the devil. The Bible makes it clear he has subdued him. 1 John 3:8 tells us very clearly, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Don't be afraid of him. Listen, he's not as powerful as God. How many of you are thankful that our God is great? We sang a little bit ago, how great thou art. The Bible says in the book of Colossians that he has disarmed the devil. Colossians 2:15. And so this isn't I hope he wins this week and tomorrow. Listen. 1 John 4:4 puts it very clearly. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can I get an amen this morning, right? I loved Saturday morning cartoons. It's kind of like, remember that dog that was all tied up, And then the little pussycat would just sneak out, and he would just look at him and go, don't you wish you could, and the dog's going, And listen, the devil, he's all chained up. Listen, he's limited to what God limits him to. He's just playing in his domain. That's all he's doing for a time. And the Bible says God subdued him. And that one of these days, ultimately, he'll be cast in the lake of fire. But that's our enemy. Now, notice number two. I want you to get this. His tactic. Now, this is the problem. The Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices, but I'm afraid most Christians are. What are his devices? Who is the devil? John 8:44 calls him what he is. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, Jesus said, for he is a liar and the father of it. The devil is the father of lies. The tactic of the devil is he lies to us. And the problem many times is that we live our entire lives based on faulty information. Isn't that a sad thing? This lady that wrote a story, and she said she went to her 50th high school reunion. And some of you, what I'm talking about, and she was driving there with her husband, and she said, I wonder if so-and-so and so-and-so will be there. And she said, boy, they never liked me. She said, it just always bothered me that they never liked me. And she said, they never talked to me. She said, and you know what? She says, I have suffered greatly for it. She said, in fact, my self-esteem, I don't think I've ever been the same. So it's like I never was included, in those girls. And I'm going to go ask them why. She said, it's been 50 years. I think it's time I got some answers. So she went, and you know how it is. They had their things. And she walked up to these two ladies. And those two ladies looked at her, and she said, well, so-and-so, don't you look as beautiful as ever? She looked at him, she said, beautiful. They said, boy, you've always been so pretty. We always thought you were just the most beautiful girl in school. They said, she said, well, wait a minute, you never talked to me. She said, I suffer greatly. She said, I always wondered, I thought you didn't like me. She said, didn't like you. We were always intimidated by you. We always thought you were just so beautiful and just such a dignified person and so on. And she's driving home that day, and she writes in the story, she says to her husband, she says, I have suffered greatly. These were her words. She said, my entire personality was based on a lie. Now, folks, listen. Many of us are living our lives based on the wrong information. Freedom comes from when you discover the truth, When you discover, the Bible says, what is true, but the devil wants you to believe his lies. Now notice how he does it. Let's talk number two. Write this down. The control of your mind. How does he do it? Now 2 Corinthians 10 is a classic passage where the Bible describes how it is that the devil wants and does want to control your mind. And what are we're supposed to do about it? We're going to look at it in a minute, the answer, but I want you to look at just how he does it. 2 Corinthians 10, the Bible says, as if we walked according to the flesh, it says, for though as we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. It says we don't walk according to the flesh. We walk, the Bible says, according to the Spirit. So, verse number four, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, he says. In other words, watch this. They're not a pill, not a psychiatrist visit. It's not a counselor. It's not, the Bible says, even a message like this. It's not knowledge. It's not somehow, you know, getting, if you will, some new information. It's different than that. You say, well, what are they? Well, pastor, it's very simple, church. It's what we've been preaching to you about. It's the presence of God. It's dying to the flesh. It's being alive into Christ. It's surrendering every day to him. It's the filling of the Spirit. It's prayer. It's the truth of God's word. That's what ours is. Look at verse number four. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of, say that word, strongholds. What's a stronghold? That's an interesting word. It says that the Bible says that it's a place, a stronghold. The word is topos in the Greek. You know that word topography? Graph is to write. Topography is the idea of writing, you know, and mapping things out. Here's what it says. It says literally the devil has taken a place. It's taken some land, some real estate in your mind, he says, that he occupies. And he, the Bible says, sets himself there. A fortress, if you've ever been to Europe maybe and you've seen a castle, that's the idea here. You know, these castles, they're majestic, they're beautiful. But the outer walls, some of them, they're so wide, you can literally drive, you know, they could drive a chariot. We could drive a couple of trucks down these walls. I mean, they're literally 10 and 15 and 12 foot wide, some of them. I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing defense. Well, that's what the devil has done. To some of us, the Bible says, he has come in and he's taken control. He's got some real estate. So right off the bat, I've got to debunk some myths. A stronghold then is a fortress in your mind. Faulty belief that's been reinforced many times over a long period of time. Some of you, maybe your entire life, all the way back to your childhood. It's faulty thinking and false thinking that prevents you from really knowing God and from really maturing in Christ. Well, you say, well, pastor, I thought that the devil couldn't come into a Christian's mind. And we've got to debunk that myth right now, because here's the problem. There's a lot of people who think, well, a Christian can't be demon-possessed. And that's true. The devil cannot possess you, but he can't control you. You say, well, how does he do that? Through your thinking. He controls people through thoughts. I'm going to give you a couple of Bible examples, and I could give you more, but let me explain. For example, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 21 that David was a man after God's own heart. And everybody said? All right. But 1 Chronicles 21:1 says, and Satan stood up against Israel. The Bible says, here is Satan against God's people, and provoked David to number Israel. So here's the devil, and he says, I am going to destroy Israel. And he does it by planting this idea, this thought in David's mind. Hey, David, why don't you count your soldiers? And so David, the king, he calls for Joab. Joab, come here. He says, I want you to go take a census of my troops. Now, Joab looked at him and he said, King, don't do this. You know why? Joab knew what was going on. In the heart of David, all of a sudden, David was leaning on the flesh. He was now becoming flesh dependent. Here's a man, the Bible says, he had been living in liberty, but he's sliding back to the old ways. And the Bible says now he's going, wait a minute, do I have enough to go up against that army? And so he's got to get a count. Joab and everybody says, don't do this, king. That's what the evil people do. We pray. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God, he had written in the book of Psalms. But now he's reverting back to the old man. And the Bible says, watch this, that David sent and they counted the army and they came back and they gave him a number, and immediately God, the Bible says, judged David and judged the people. Thousands of people died because of it. I go on in the story until David repented and he went and he built an altar and he worshiped and he said, God, it's all about you. It's not what I have, because it was the wrong thinking. Let me ask you a question. This is a very important question to you. Do you realize that if I were to sin against you, if I were to come and I would say, Dave, and if I hit you, Dave, do you know I hit you? Yeah, you probably know that, right? If I call your name, if I'm like, you know, are you Irish? No, what are you? Portuguese. Man, you Portuguese, you know, and I call him a bad name. Would you know that I did that? If I lie to you, do you know? If I deceive you, do you know that? See, this is the problem. If you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. So the devil deceives us. David thought this was his idea, but who put the thought in his mind? Okay, let me give you another one, because some of you just still don't believe me. There's a story in Acts 4, first century church, Ananias and Sapphira. There's a guy in chapter 4, his name was Barnabas. How many of you remember Barnabas, right? The son of encouragement. He brings, the Bible says, he sells some land because he sees other Christians in need, and he's like, I'm going to give this all so that their needs are met. Time of persecution. And the Bible says he brings the offering to church, and people are going, this is amazing. Praise God. The need is met. Thank God, Barnabas. Man, you're just an encouragement. They give him the encouragement award. People clap for him, whatever. And Ananias and Sapphira are a couple. Ananias, the man, and Sapphira, his wife, they go, hey, that's cool. We want the encouragement badge. So they go sell. The Bible says they put this land up on Facebook Marketplace, you know what I mean? And they start haggling with everybody, and they sell it. You know, they get the Venmo thing, and they go, we're going to give the money. And so the Bible says they come and they bring it. But here's the deal. They didn't bring it all. They just wanted the glory. And they said, oh, we sold a piece of land. Here it is. And when they walked in, you know, here's this man walking down the aisle with his offering. Peter stands up, and he says, Ananias, let me ask you this question. Acts 5. Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? It's not that God wanted the whole price of the land, it's that they lied and they wanted the glory like they had given the whole price of the land. So here's Ananias. He thinks this thing up, but who had planted the thought according to the word of God? Satan had filled his heart. So I want you to understand something. The Bible is very clear that you can be a Christian, but you can have thoughts planted in your head by the enemy. And all of a sudden, he doesn't say, I think you're useless. I think you're worthless. That's not what he says. He says, and he plants the thought, and then you say, I'm useless. I'm worthless. I'm ugly. I'm angry. I'm just not disciplined. I just can't resist porn. And before you know it, the Bible says over and over again, and one of the verses is today, we've got to be careful with this because it's playing. The mental health pandemic that we have going on in our country right now, watch this, goes back to something that we've replaced, by the way, truth for, watch this, whatever you want to think is truth. And all of a sudden, one of the great virtues, and some Christians in this room, you fall and pray right to it. We think that the greatest virtue in America is to let people think whatever they want. Oh, well, you know, we got to let Junior decide. They tell me, if I had a dollar every time somebody this week said, you know what I mean, I could buy you lunch. I'm serious. I mean, if every time somebody said, oh, I think this. Well, I just think that. Well, I just think this. And I'm going to just let my kids decide. And we have this passive parenting. You know what they're going to decide, by the way? They're going to decide for evil. Oh, I just got to let my neighbor decide. You know what he'll decide? He'll decide to go to hell. Amazingly, our entire belief system and sometimes in our daily living is based on, listen, patterns that can be traced back to the lies of the enemy. He goes in, he plants those lies there, the Bible says, and watch this, and then they get entrenched. How do they do that? Letter A, through our environment. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? Many of us, we just live in environments, right? You listen to music, you know, and she's my baby girl, but she's going to leave me. I mean, you're just listening to certain music that just plays certain themes, and then you wonder why. Why is it that we look at our kids and we're like, listen, if your little boy were to go and watch a horror movie, and then he wakes up at 2 in the morning and he goes, Mommy, I'm scared. I just see a monster. What does he look like? He looks like the one in the movie. You'd look at him and you'd say, there's no monster. Go to sleep. But no, it's real in his mind because it got planted there. Amen? Some of you see monsters all the time. And they're, oh, well, she's lying to me. Well, they reject me. Well, they don't like me. Well, all this. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And here we are, the Bible says, and we have developed that, watch this, through music and television and social media and things that we're taught and things that we were told and from our family and our upbringing. And listen, those environments continually develop something in us. And all of a sudden, listen, maybe you had an abusive father and he was an alcoholic, for example. And some people, you know, their default was just to stand up and fight. And do you know what you're doing still today? You're standing up and fighting everybody. Maybe, you know, you had an abusive father, and maybe your default because of your temperament was, you know, I just hide. And you know what you do when you have conflict? You hide and you build a wall and you leave. And some of you, you know, when that would happen, you would just be so helpful, and you would be like, oh, daddy, can I get you anything? And you know, you would just appease, and you would just appease. And guess what? You're still trying to please everybody today, still to this very day. Your dad's been gone 20, 30 years, but you're still there. And the Bible tells us, listen, that's a stronghold. The world calls them coping mechanisms, and the Bible calls them very simply strongholds. They're ways of thinking and acting that get ingrained in our minds through our environment. Sometimes it's not a continual thing in our environment. Sometimes, number two, it's traumatic experiences. Sometimes it's just one time something happened to you. You were raped. You were mugged. Someone died. You went through a divorce. I mean, it was traumatic. And listen, this happens all the time. I talk to people who go through abuse. And if sometimes those people especially tend to see themselves as victims the rest of their lives. Like, I'm helpless. I'm unable to stand up for myself. And by the way, how many of you understand that's not true of you if you're a child of God? You're not helpless. The Bible says you're not just a conqueror. You are more than conqueror through him who loved us. Listen, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. It's not what happened to you then that destroys you. Listen, it's the lie that you believe because of what happened to you. And all of a sudden, you just believe you're a loser. You believe you're helpless. And it's an amazing thing. And all of a sudden, you know, somebody's attacked by a man, and they think, well, you know, all men are liars. None of them can be trusted. And for the rest of their life, they can't trust their husband, can't trust their father. And then you watch this. They don't trust their heavenly father. And you don't know sometimes how deeply entrenched that stays in there. It's not what happens. It's the lie that you believe because of it. And we have to, as God's children, watch this. We've got to go back. The Bible says, watch this. One thing I do, Paul said, and it's not pressing forward. That's what we all like to quote. We forget the part he said before that. Watch this. He says, one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind. He says, I go back and I deal with it as a child of God. I assimilate that as what God says, and I compare it to the truth of God's word so that I can then go forward. So many Christians stay immature because of the lies they believe. Environment, traumatic experiences. Number three, habitual sins. They just give in to temptation. They're giving in to sin, and watch this. So the sin becomes a habit. Watch this. The habit stays in their life long enough, and now it becomes a stronghold. And the Bible says this is what happens. A stronghold then becomes a way of thinking, a way of living. When my dad was, when I was little, my dad owned a cattle farm, and so sometimes I'd say, Dad, can I drive the truck? You know, and I was just, if I could drive the truck, and I mean, you know, big truck. Now, to be fair, I was probably about 5 years old, and he'd sit me on his lap, and he'd do the pedals, and he'd do the gears, and all I really had to do was steer. Now, this is 3 a.m, and it's dark out there, but you know the reality of it is? I wasn't steering that much, because between our house and when the farm was, it was a dirt road, and there was ruts in the road where all the trucks would go to pick up all the milk and the cattle, and I never really had to steer. The truck would just follow the ruts. Some of you, your life is being steered and has come to a place where you never thought you'd ever be. Because your way of thinking has just become that. You're just resentful. You're just angry. You just go to the bottle. You just go. And there's a lot of, the Bible says, habitual sins are the number one way that the devil gains a stronghold. And from there, he leads us to other things. You know, one of the greatest sins that the devil uses is resentment, bitterness. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and sin not. Watch this. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Anger there is talking about that reaction to being hurt. Watch this. And it says, deal with it. Deal with it. Don't let the sun go down. Do you know what that means? If you're still angry at 4:57 tonight, deal with it. Okay? I don't know how you interpret it, but I mean, it just means don't let it sit. Don't let it fester. Why? Because verse 27 says, neither give place to the See, that's the same word. You gave a topos. You've given him a stronghold. You've given him a place, and then he lives there, and he stays there. One of the greatest ways that he finds a place, the Bible is very clear, is through unforgiveness. And it goes on to say that in Ephesians 4, verse number 31. This is one of the most commonly used passages as preachers. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So listen, all of a sudden, bitterness sits in, then there's a stronghold, then the devil takes hold, and now, watch this, you have inferiority, and then you have insecurity, and you have things like, you know, inadequacy, and they're all stronghold based on lies. You say, why? Because no child of God, the Bible says, should ever feel insecure or inferior or inadequate. You say, why, Pastor? Because no child of God is insecure or inferior or inadequate. Amen. We've already talked about this. We're secure. We are special. We are significant. You're the salt of the world. You're the light, the Bible says, of this world. Nobody here is insignificant. So this is very important. And you know what that does? It just spirals. All of a sudden, it leads your life to a place where all of a sudden you have strongholds. And those strongholds, most medical doctors would tell you, anywhere from 50 to 85, depending on where you study, and I saw it all this week, so I'm going to tell you, between 50 and 85%, they connect most diseases, 50 to 85% of them, back to, watch this, what's going on in people's minds. I've seen it many times. And by the way, can I tell you this? And I'm not here speaking against the medical community. My uncle's a doctor. My sister's a nurse. I was going to be a doctor, and I'm going to go see my doctor on Tuesday. There are very genuine and real medical conditions that are taken care of when you go to a doctor. If you break your leg, don't pray. I mean, we'll pray afterwards, but go to the doctor first. Can I get a witness, right? Watch this. But I have seen many times people break free of strongholds, and all of a sudden, their MS is gone. Their perennial infections are gone. And in America, there's something we don't agree. Most doctors would disagree that our spiritual condition, everywhere else in the world, spiritualism is, listen, they understand spiritism is a very real thing, and they believe what the Bible says when, for example, in the book of Mark, there was a man who was demon-possessed and he couldn't talk. And there's other places men were demon-possessed, the Bible says, and for example, they couldn't see. They understood and agreed that, yes, it even affected, watch this, diseases. You say, Pastor, are you trying to tell me that there's conditions like that that actually go back to, you know, actual demonic oppression? Yes. And I can't explain which, and I'm not here. I'm not even going to try. But I'm simply saying, listen, as a pastor, I can tell you, you know, 30 years ago, everybody would come, oh, Pastor, I've got diabetes. You know, I've got diabetic. I'm a diabetic. And then, you know, 20 years ago, it was like everybody's had ADHD. You know what I mean? Everybody got dope up. We all got ADHD. You know what I mean? And now everybody's got mental health. Everybody's got, you know, antidepressants because we all have mental health. And you know what it goes back to many times? And I'm not saying everybody's conditions again. Don't come up to me. Don't write me the email. Send it to somebody else. Spare the thought. I won't even read it. Okay, I'll be honest with you right now. It's not going to offend me, but I'm just telling you. Spirit affects even, the Bible says, even our very health. It certainly affects our marriages. It's definitely affecting our power in our communities. It's affecting our soul winning. It's affecting you. And many of you, you know what I'm talking about. There's a habitual sin, and the devil can call upon it any time, and you get angry, and at any time, and you go drink, and at any time, you go dope up. And those are just the obvious ones. And for some of you, you got respectable ones. At any time, watch this, and you just withdraw. And at any time, you're just undisciplined, and you just run away. And on and on and on. And I'm just here to say, listen, folks, they all go back to lies that we've allowed the devil to plant in our thoughts. And you walk around and you feel rejected when you haven't really been rejected. And you walk around and you feel defensive when you're not really being attacked. Anybody have that problem? We walk around and we feel trapped when you have everything in your power to walk away from sin. You can be free. Let me talk to you about, real quickly, I want to review. This is a little bit of review. Point three is how to defend your mind. I want to talk about defense. So some of you are here and you're saying, you know, Pastor, and I think there's just a few here who would say, you know, I think I've gained some freedom in some areas in my life. How do I stay free? Well, let me tell you how to not let the devil build strongholds in your life, in your mind. Number one, understand your position in Christ. Remember who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get saved, the Bible says, we're told that Jesus, watch this, he was ascended up and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. The person seated at the right hand of the throne has all the same authority normally. It's normally the person that just carries out. They have executive power. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. It's a place of power and authority. Ephesians 1:20 tells us this way, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, that's in power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. How many things had he put under his feet? All things. Whatever you're facing, it's under Jesus' feet. How many of you are with me so far? Say amen, right? Watch this. This is good news. Our Savior is overall. Now, what is your position? Watch this. If you are in Christ, if you're in a perfect union with Christ, the Bible says this is what's true of you. Notice Ephesians 2:6. And he hath raised us up together. Remember, this is last week. This is the doctrine of identification. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know what that means? You're seated there too. How many things are under your feet? All things. You have power over everything, the Bible says. Remember your position in Christ. Understand that. Reckon, we said. Number two, you need to use the resources you have in Christ. Listen, we've got resources then. Everything that's available to Jesus is available to you. The Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God. If I were to say to you today, listen, there is a lion that's loose. We caught him on the camera this morning. And y'all on the way to the car, y'all be careful. How many of you think you'd pay attention? Some of you are packing. You'd be like, we're getting it on today. I mean, right? Listen to me. The Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's like, whose mind can I plant another lion today? So the Bible says it very carefully. Watch this. You say, well, Pastor, how do we stay? What are the resources we have at our disposal? Listen, this is very simple. Remember, we said your flesh can do nothing. So here's what you must do. You got to crucify the flesh. You got to submit to God. James says it very clearly. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. The Bible says he's gone. You know what I mean? The Bible says it very clearly. If you do what we said last week, Romans 6, if you know who you are, you reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, then let sin no more reign in your mortal body. You dethrone sin and you enthrone Jesus Christ. You say, Holy Spirit, fill me. You know what'll happen? The Bible says the devil's gone. He has no option but to run. You confess your sin. This is how we escape the sin cycle. We learn in the cure. It's something that we just need to do. We confess it to God, we confess it to others, and we resist the devil. He'll flee. Yes, there's a demon in the world, absolutely, but what do? You don't walk around all afraid. You know, like, we don't go, oh, wait a minute, I think there's the devil. I mean, people act like, you know, in our charismatic friends, they act like he's behind the door, and he's in the car, you know what I mean? And he's on the piano, you know, and if the sound system busts, he's in the sound system. Oh, no. Folks, listen to me. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Use the resources you have in Christ. Number three, guard your mind. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Again, if somebody watches a scary movie and then they wake up scared at night, we go, oh, we shouldn't have been watching that movie. Listen to me. If your life's a soap opera and all you do is watch flicks, Netflix. Amen, Pastor, that was good. Amen. I'll just encourage myself in the Lord. Don't worry about it. We have such Easter mysticism that's crept into the business place, and it's crept into the school board, and it's crept into the classrooms in America, and it's crept even into churches today. And I'm just going to make it very blunt. What you think about is what you live. For a man, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You talking to that girl who's full of drama and gossip and she thinks, you know, this and that and all that, guess what? You're going to be full of drama and gossip. You're listening to podcasts that are all about, you know, vulgar things and stuff. You're going to be listening to it. You listen to that music, guess what? You sit here in church and I can't get your attention because you're sitting there falling asleep, but you know, but you got to jazz to the, you know, to the grooves, you know, because that's what gets your heart pumping or whatever. I mean, listen, and that's what your life is. I'm not trying to be difficult today. Guard your mind. This is why I'm a proponent of Christian education. I'm like, hey, be careful with your children's education. This is why I up here and I'm like, church, get to God's house. Come to church. It's not about me. It's not about like, oh, you know, I feel better. Listen, I'll preach this way next week if nobody comes. Here's what I know. It renews your mind. This is why I'll tell you, read the Bible. This is why this is the survival kit. This is what was on there, because this will renew your mind. It'll change then your marriage, and it'll change then your mood, and it'll change everything else. It'll make you free. This is why I talk about discipleship. This is why we talk about reading good books. Why? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You tell me what you think, I'll tell you what you're listening to. Now listen, that's the defensive. Now, let's go on offense. Are you ready? I want to give you some simple steps today. I want to give you two sub-points and then some simple steps how you can get rid of the lies that the devil has encamped in your mind. Here's our offense against strongholds. Are you ready? We're going to go, we're going to take the battery in, we're going to take him out. Today we're evicting the devil. How? Well, it starts, number one, by you taking responsibility. Listen, the Bible says that God has given us all that we need for life and godliness in Christ Jesus, 2 Peter 1:3. We studied this in the growth groups a couple years, maybe a year back. Everything we need from Christ Jesus, you have. Let me ask you a question. Do you have everything you need? Are you sure? The Lord is my shepherd. I don't need anything else. We are complete in him, Paul said to the Colossians. We're complete in Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. Why is it then that today we act like, well, it's not my fault? If our church had a counseling for that, or if I found a good counselor that would teach me this, or if I, just could find the right pill, you know, and would level up my that, and all of a sudden, you know, and I'm not saying, please don't get me wrong, I'm not saying somehow don't regulate, you know, these things. I'm just being very careful here and saying this. Watch this. Most of us, watch this. What you need to do is you need to forgive. See, you've carried the resentment for 35 years. It's your blood pressure that's, you know, spiking all the time. I'm just being honest. You're the one who needs to yield to the Lord. It's you that's hanging on to, you got saved, but you're still acting like a Catholic. I mean, it's you that's hanging on to the old works. It's your responsibility. We love to put it on anybody else. Oh, if Pastor would show up to my house and he'd pray over me. No. Pastor doesn't have to do that. You're complete. Amen. You have everything you need. When you got saved, Jesus came in. What else do you need? Nothing. You have the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He is able. Freedom is in your hands so long as you use the resources that God has given you. Listen, God says there are some things he wants you to do. He wants you to yield to his Spirit. He wants you to forgive. He wants you to kick sin out. Only you can do that. Forgive others. Believe the truth. Number two, take every thought captive. So we go back to 2 Peter 10 and verse 5, casting down imaginations, and that word imaginations is literally the idea of, watch this, thoughts, the fiery darts of the devil, Paul called them. Now watch this. Imagine your mind as an airport, and you're the air traffic controller with the power to allow into your airport whatever you want. Now, let me make a statement to some of you who just battle with your mind. Victorious Christians also have lies of the devil come in. They just don't allow them to stay. An old preacher used to say, I can't keep the birds from flying over my head, he said, but I can keep them from making a nest in my hat. You have the authority at any time when the thoughts of the devil come in, and all of a sudden, you know the thought. I don't have to tell you. Most of you know what I'm talking about. And that lie, and that leads to depression, and that, listen, anxiety that leads to that high blood pressure, and you know what I mean? And those that resentment that all of a sudden leads then to anger. Watch this. When that comes in, the Bible says you have the power to say, you can't come in here. I'm sorry. This airfield is reserved for Jesus and only Jesus. And he says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And that's liberty. See, some of you, instead of, you know, trying to find the right regulation and stuff maybe for your, you know, thing that you got going on, maybe you ought to try coming to the altar today. Maybe you ought to go to a seasoned Christian and just say, I need to confess some sin. And the Bible says you can get free when you dethrone sin and you reckon yourself, but watch this. Maturity and staying there requires you to get rid of some strongholds. Folks, I can't tell you how many times this is ministry. It's dealing with people who are in their 50s or dealing with stuff when they were 15, who, as a young lady, you know, there was something was done, and all of a sudden, I sit here and I'm talking to a 55-year-old who's still thinking as a 15-year-old, I'm hopeless, I'm just dirty, and so anorexia, so suicidal thoughts, so destroyed marriage after another, so relationships that are inhibited. Folks, I'm not up here just frothing, and I'm not up here trying to get you to believe me about something. This is our life. And this is not what our God wants for us. Listen, He's able to destroy strongholds. How does He do that? I want to give you a 5-step, okay? But I don't want you to trust these steps. I want you to understand, the steps are to lead us to the Word of God and to the truth of God. How many of you are with me, right? Number one, I want you to take a piece of paper, not today. This is the exercise. Are you ready? I want you to take a piece of paper, and I want you to deal with your stronghold. Here's the steps. Number one, write down the lie. Bring your lie to light. Expose it. If we confess our sins, that's when you don't say, Lord, if I sinned again, if I did anything, sorry. Sorry about getting mad. No. That's not your problem. Watch this. Go back to the stronghold. What's the lie? Why do you get mad? You ever dug into that? The Bible says, expose the lie. Some of you, you've believed this so long, you don't even know. It's just habitual. You're just living in a rut. Write it down. What you've learned to think that is not in line with what God says in the Bible. I'm dirty. I'm just late. I'm just a procrastinator. I'm dumb. I'm just useless. I'm antisocial. I'm just, you know, insecure. I just lose control. That's just what I do. I yell. I'm just phobic. I'm just scared. I smoke. I do drugs. I drink. That's me. Expose the lie. You'll never have victory, listen, till you bring it to light. This is painful. This is why some of you don't want to come tonight, because we're talking about it in the cure, and we got to expose it. Confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed. It's the hardest part for most, because it requires humility. Number one, write down the lie. Number two, determine its effect. So write it down. How has it affected your life? Imagine how your life would be different if you didn't believe that lie. What would you do that you currently don't do? Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind. Notice number three. Find some scriptures and write them down. Find scriptures to debunk the lie. Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. How is the new man renewed? He's renewed in knowledge, the Bible says, after the image of him that created him. You gotta know what the truth is. If the lie is, I'm worthless, watch this, then you've got to debunk that with some truths. You are secure in Christ. You're the light of the world. Listen, I gave you a list a few weeks back. If you want that list, let us know. Get with somebody. Get with your growth group leader. Get with a mature Christian. Get with a pastor. Get with somebody who knows the Word of God, the truth of God's Word. Go to somebody and or read a good Christian book on fear like we had last week for the research of the week, and pull out all the verses the author gives and read all of those verses. Write them down. So you write down the lie. You write down how it's affected you. And then you write down the truth. You write down the scriptures and what they say about your lie. Now notice number four, write a declaration. Here's what you're going to do. Now you're going to pray this to God every day. Lord, I denounce the lie that I'm worthless. I'm dirty. Okay? I denounce the lie that I have to look at pornography. And I confess the truth. And here is where you write the truth. What's the truth? The truth is, I am clean. The truth is, I am significant. I am special. You cry over me. I am a new creation. Whatever the scriptures say about that, write a declaration. I denounce the lie that, and I reject the, or I reject the lie that, and then I embrace the truth that, okay? Or I announce this truth. What happens? Watch this. When you begin to speak the Word of God, you know what happens? The Holy Spirit begins to renew. See, what he does is he takes the truth, and when the truth is there, watch this, then the Holy Spirit begins to go to work. Titus 3 says, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, when you confess, when you got saved, this is what you did, right? You said, Lord, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe you're the Savior. I confess my sin. Jesus Christ came in. He saved you immediately. Why? Because you declared the truth. There's power in confessing. How many of you are with me this morning, right? Notice number 5. Read the verses and say the declaration for, here it is, ready? 40 days. You say, did you just pick that out of nowhere? No, I didn't. Let me tell you, psychologists tell us that that's how long it takes for you to break a habit and establish a new one. 6 weeks. That's how long it takes, watch this, you got to drive 40 trucks for the rut to be built. So, if we're breaking down a stronghold, and I know, listen, so this is why for many Christians it's difficult. They stay immature, okay? They're walking around in diapers and we all look at them like, there she comes. Still cranky after all these years in church, hi. Kind of grotesque, right? You know, remember, picture me in a diaper, right? Kind of nasty. I get it. The reason is, you know, we listen to the message once a year on the thing we struggle with, and we're like, okay, got that out of the way. I'm good. But listen, no, it's your responsibility. See, God's given you the Word of God. He's given you the Holy Spirit. How do we take down? That would be like me saying, okay, we're going to demolish this wall over here. And I come over here, and I got a hammer, and I go and I start banging, and I'm like, ugh. That's how most Christians are. It's like they bang on it once a year and they think, oh man, I heard a message about it once and like, look at it. I mean, this is just how I am. You know, you ever watch those videos where they're demolishing stuff, you know, and they take that big wrecker and it hits that wall and it's like, ooh, boom. And most of the time, honestly, it doesn't do a whole lot. And then they take it again, right? Ooh, boom. And the next time it's like, oh, things begin to rattle. And then it's, ooh, boom, you know, and then it's, oh, and then you know, dust starts to fall, and then boom, boom, and I mean, it's cool. And then one of those times, I mean, about like the four, you know, however many, depending on how big, oh, boom, and it just busts open. That's how God's word is. Jeremiah 23 says, is not my word like a hammer? Listen, it starts to beat. And listen, you're going to do this, and after day 2 or 3, you're going to be sitting there going, I just don't feel anything. No, it's not about feelings, remember? It's about what God says. Oh, I'm still afraid. I'm still scared. I'm still stressed. No. You keep reading. Lord, I denounce that I'm an anxious person. I don't have to fear you. I'm thankful I don't have to be afraid. And you do that. Watch this. And you do that. And you do that. You know what will happen? Day 35, you may still not feel anything. And all of a sudden, you know what? There will come a day when you'll feel a breakthrough. And all of a sudden, you'll think, I'm free. I'm free. Some of you, in 40 days, you'll be flushing some pills. Just being honest. Because listen, all of a sudden it's gone. You won't feel it. It just happens. You'll be renewed. It's not a program. It's not a plan. It's not preacher talk. Watch this. It's the power of God through the Spirit of God in the Scriptures. Folks, if we don't believe this, why are we here? How many of you believe that God says what He says in His Word and He means it? To the breaking down of strongholds. So let's give some examples. Let's just say you're somebody who you take comfort in food. I mean, you stress eating, emotional eating, whatever you want to call it. Expose your lie. The lie is that overeating can satisfy me and not Jesus. What effects has it had in your life? Well, you write those down. Poor health, overweight. I've given the enemy a stronghold. It keeps me from being a mature believer, among other things. Then you write down some verses, Proverbs 25, 26. He hath no rule over his own spirit, is like a city that is broken down without walls. Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I could give you more. And then you pray, Lord, I denounce the lie that food would satisfy me, and I believe the truth that you can satisfy me, and you alone. Right, let's take another one. You're one of these people who you just feel abandoned and forgotten, kind of left on your own. That's the lie. The effect it's had is you're not able to have relationships. You withdraw from others. Maybe it's affected your marriage. You're aloof. You're probably afraid. You're probably anxious. That's a wall. you're hard to love because nobody really knows you. You don't ever want to let people in your, you know, growth group is real uncomfortable for you. You just like the wall. So you start looking at verses. Well, how do I debunk that? Deuteronomy 31, be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He'll not fail thee nor forsake thee. Isaiah 46, 4, even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made you and I'll bear even, I'll carry you and I'll deliver you. Romans 8, 39, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so you write down, Lord, I denounce the lie that I'm alone and I'm afraid. And I pronounce the truth that you love me, you have plans for me, nothing can separate me, etc. Here's one that's killing us. You're irresistibly drawn to pornography. So you expose the lie. I can't resist the temptation to lust. You write its effect. It brings me shame. I feel dirty. I have a warped sexual feeling. I'm unable to relate to others. If you're married, it harms my marriage. So you write down some verses. Romans 6, 11. Likewise, reckon yourselves also dead indeed unto sin, alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Know ye not that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Romans 10, 12. The Lord has given us a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. I could go on and on and on. Watch this. And you say, I denounce the lie that I cannot resist sexual temptation. And Lord, I embrace the truth that you will always provide a way of escape, that I'm satisfied in you, and so on and so forth. Amen. And just check it off. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Go 40 days. It works in every other area. Some of you, you've proved it in, with your diet. You've proved it with bodybuilding. You've proved it with your car. Listen, you've proved it in many areas. It's not the process, folks. It's the person. It's Jesus Christ that does the work. And the truth shall set you what?
Free.
Aren't you tired of being in bondage? Folks, listen. Every Christian can be a mature, victorious believer. Nothing can keep you from experiencing mighty things, great things, so long as you do your part and use the weapons that God's given to you. And when you're tempted, all of a sudden, there's the law of sin and death, and you feel like you're in bondage to it. You tell the devil, listen, I've been emancipated. I've been freed. And you say, oh, well, pastor, I mean, that's hard. I mean, I just feel like it's a law. And Paul felt that way in Romans 7. He said, I feel the law of sin and death. But then he said, watch this. I am also a slave now to the law of God. How many of you understand? The law of God, the word of God, your ways are higher than. Isn't that amazing? The song just told us. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And when you put the law of God in your mind, guess what? The law of God all of a sudden, listen, eliminates the law of sin and of death. And it's an amazing transformation. And one day the Bible says, you need to understand, you will walk around and you're going to say, wow, this is great. It's great to be free. Because that's what a Christian's supposed to be. Some of you here, your greatest stronghold, the Bible says God, the God of this world, the devil, has blinded the eyes of them. Your greatest stronghold is you believe the lie that somehow God's got it out against you. Can I tell you a truth? God loves you. Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, in other words, he has seen everything you've done and knows it all, and he still loves you. He doesn't just love you, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's not against you. The truth is, he came to die for your sin. He died in your place. The Bible says he offers you salvation. That's deliverance. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to, the Bible says, listen, suffer for your sin. Jesus suffered on the cross. All you have to understand today is, watch, here's the truth. He offers you a gift. Salvation is a gift. It is eternal life forever. How many of you are thankful that eternal life? You don't have to gain it, the Bible says. Amen. Jesus paid it all. And we're here, and we're not here trying. We're here trusting in what Jesus Christ did for us. Friend, if you today would just say, I renounce my sin, and I announce the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died, he's my Savior. Watch this. The Bible says, if you'll do that, you can be saved today. He'll forgive you. He'll give you a home in heaven. And the Bible says you'll be his child. There's no one here that's too bad that can't be saved. And there's no one here that's so good, they don't need to be saved. It's wonderful. You just have to accept the truth. Shall we stand together? I want you to bow your head and close your eyes and just pray to the Lord in heaven. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, melt me, mold me. Show me if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way, in the path of God. Is there a lie that's been exposed? Would you be able to say today, you know, Pastor, there's a stronghold. And frankly, I need to do this. I need to bring it to the Lord. I've just believed that's just the way it's going to be. I've just fallen to believe that that's just how I am, and that's just always going to be that way. But today, you know, you preached about the law of God and the power of God. And friend, it all starts with belief. Some of you, you hit rock bottom. I mean, you can't figure out how to deal with it anymore. Why don't you bring it to Jesus? Why won't you bring it to Jesus? How many of you would say today, you know, Pastor, I need to renew my mind. It doesn't have to be, you know, this terrible public sin. Sometimes it's just habits and resentments and things we've carried for years and decades. And you've just believed the lie over and over again. And today, a loving God is telling you, it's time to renew your mind. It's time to renew your mind. Is God speaking to you? Is that you? Are you here and you're like, I got to renew my mind. I got to let the truth in. I want to be free. Free at last. Free forever. And that's me. I'm not talking about a program and a process. And I'm not saying don't get counseling or go to a doctor. I'm just saying you need to bring that to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let him change your thinking. And so you're here. You'd say, that's me, Pastor. I just want to ask you, raise your hand right up. God's speaking to me. I need to renew my mind this morning. God bless you. There's a lot of hands. Friend, would you just bring that to the Lord? Can I encourage you? Let's do this. Just step out of your seat and come to this altar. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, there's some of our team members here, some of our deacons and others. We'd love to pray with you. Can you just step out and just bring it? Just say today, Lord, I'm bringing this to you. I need to renew my mind. I've believed the lie long enough. God, here it is. Won't you come? You need to be saved today. Would you just tell somebody that's one of us up here to say, I need to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you'd like to come, we'd love to pray with you. God's speaking to you. A lot of you raise your hand. This is a good moment to come and just say, Lord, I need to renew my mind. Lord, change my mind. Change me. It's held me bondage long enough. I'm bringing it to you, Lord Jesus. My anxiety, my sin, whatever it is. Let's do business with God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your power. We thank you, Lord, that you can make us free. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the scriptures and for the Spirit of God, for your presence in our lives. We certainly need you. Dear Lord, I thank you today for these who've come today. Lord, they're just confessing. God, I pray that you would just right now bring peace, bring freedom. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your Holy Spirit, that you love us, Lord, and that you receive us. And I thank you so much, Father, for the knowledge that we can bring our lies to you and you replace them with truth. Lord, I pray that you would free many today. I pray that we would just run to the scriptures, that we would run from the lies of the enemy. Lord, I pray that you'd break chains today. Strongholds would be broken through the power of Jesus and the power of his word. I ask, dear God, that you'd give victory. And Lord, I pray that we would be careful to praise you. Lord, we don't want to take any of the credit. Only you can do this, Jesus. Their head bows and eyes closed. How many of you would say here today, Pastor, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I've settled that. I've asked Jesus Christ to save my soul. Would you raise your hand? That's my testimony. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Some of you couldn't raise your hand, and I respect that. Friend, can I just ask you, Would you confess today, once and for all? Would you just tell Jesus, right in your seat, just pray a simple prayer. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I need you to save me. I come, and I thank you for dying on the cross. You said if I trust you, you'd save me. I trust you, Lord Jesus, once and forever, once for all. Save me, Jesus. Would you tell him that? Just a simple prayer. Help me now to be the Christian I'm supposed to be. Help me not to be ashamed of you. Just pray it in your seat. Who's here and you'd say, you know, Pastor Carlos, I just prayed that. I asked Jesus Christ to save my soul. Lord bless you, ma'am. Who else? I just prayed that prayer. Just raise your hand right up. I'm going to pray for you. I don't want to embarrass you, but just raise your hand right up. I just want to thank God for that good decision. Lord bless you over here on my right. Thank you. Anybody else? I just prayed that prayer. Pastor, I just asked Jesus to save me. Anybody else? I want to rejoice with you. Father, thank you for these two who today put their trust in you. We rejoice, Lord, in their decision. May they never forget it, never be ashamed. I pray, dear God, that you'd help them live in freedom all the days of their life by renewing their minds. Father, we praise you today for your word. We ask you, Lord, help us in Jesus' name.
We'd like to thank you for listening to today's message. If you made a decision to trust Christ, we'd love to know that and send you some resources that you can use to continue your new relationship with God. If you'd like prayer, you can call us at 401-231-4796 or email us at prayer@gribt.com. You can connect with us through social media or our website at gribt.com. Have a great day, and may God richly bless you.